10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. With lots of fans trickling in now. Jesse just joined the Madison Packers backers.
I would make sure the Madison Packer backers. I spoke at their one of their meetings a long time ago.
Were you still a player?
They have a great organization. It's in Madison.
Been around for 60 years?
And I'm going to tell you
this. The Madison Packers backers are in Madison?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was unnecessary. Don't poke the
You know
bear,
what?
Jason.
Just wait. You don't want me to specify things? Oh, Steinhoffels has furniture? Yeah, they do. Yeah. That's funny how that works. Interesting. My point was, until I was rudely interrupted.
Very rudely.
I don't think you can just let everybody in this Madison Packer backers. I want to see some resume. And I don't know if the president, are you president? She is. I don't know exactly what her role is.
Treasurer. Yeah.
Treasurer. Ooh, control.
High-ranking official. Yeah.
I want them to review your records from 2009 till 13. And I don't believe he gets in the Madison Packer Packers. And then he falls asleep at a ball game that Mike McCarthy gets fired at.
No, it wasn't that one.
It could have been.
A different one.
Yeah. I don't know if your resume holds up to being a Madison Packer Backer.
Are there stringent expectations to join the group?
Need to be stringent. Like, if there's a couple of things you're like, you get a job interview, you put somebody's resume out, and they're like, you better check his, what is this, CPAC? What is that thing called where you check the criminal record?
Oh, yeah,
CCAP.
CCAP. You check that CCAP. His CCAP sucks when it comes to his Packer fandom. It does.
My Packer CCAP.
Your Packer CCAP is getting
dirty laundry.
You're getting
a lot of felonies.
I think he's bounced back his last 5 or 6 or 6 or 7 years, but his CCAP Packer score isn't good. He left us for the Minnesota Vikings. That is a red flag. I'm not putting you in the Packer Packers.
I never thought about it until now, but that didn't mean I was cheering against Tausch.
Yes.
I'd never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I think we've established that you will not be accepted.
I don't think I think you invite him and then you brandish him and then send him off his way.
What?
That's what I think I'd do.
What kind of organization do you think they're running over there?
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
Tausch would like them to adopt a more vindictive policy.
No, it's not
vindictive. Toward people who don't back
it's
the
not
pack
vindictive.
Properly.
All right, you guys might be right.
I don't think that's the spirit of the Packer Backers.
All right.
And now, time for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week.
Well, Jesse sleeps at games.
Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey. Okay, rise and it's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilde and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week from a Steinhoffel's location, which is always a bonus.
We put Danny on the spot and throw him. She couldn't have answered that quicker. I don't even think I got her first initial out of my mouth. And she's, ow! Not doing it. Okay.
I think it's the least she could do for us.
By the literally. Way, a CPAP is what they use for snoring.
No, I'm well aware. I work with Advent. I'm well aware. I said CCAP.
We figured it out.
I guess I could use a Packer CPAP, too.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine that.
All right. The Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week presented by Steinhoffels, which continues to be analyzed by the fine people at the 565 Analytics Collective. Tausch, you get to go first.
All right. I kind of felt misled last week. I went with Musgrave. I don't even know if he played. I mean,
he did. He was there.
Fitzpatrick, Fitzgerald, whoever was out there. Chipotle, Ben. I felt like every tight end in their cousin was out there except for Musgrave. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm going to go back to the well, and I think the young man that had a potential touchdown that kind of veered off a little bit, our first-round pick. I need a dub. My Steinhoffel, I just see the record here now that I actually have a show sheet. Jason Wilde, 2-1 ahead of me?
Yeah,
I wasn't going to bring that up.
The analytics firm, and they've been fair. I'm not going to sit here and cry like you did last year when we'd win. This is a fair – I think our firm has been fair.
He's a controversial ruling away from being
3-0. Fair. Matthew Golden is going to be my Steinhoffler. I think Matthew Golden has a big game. It's just everything is kind of tuned up for that. They stink in the back end. I think he's coming on. You saw it. I think you're going to see more of it. So he's going to need to put up a game in order for me to win, but I think he is going to put up that game. And I think he's going to be off the books here probably by midseason. I don't think he's going to be eligible.
So take him now while
while the getting's good.
Jesse, who you got?
I really thought about taking John Fitzpatrick last week, and I ended up not doing it.
You would have won.
I regret not taking John Fitzpatrick. The Cowboys give up a ton of points and yards, so it's got to be an offensive player that you pick for the sleeper of the week this week. I'm going to go Emmanuel Wilson. I think this game gets a little out of hand. I think maybe in a situation catching a pass out of the backfield, he comes up with a big touchdown score. Emmanuel Wilson, little bit of a reach, but I feel good about that going into this matchup with the Cowboys defense as my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week.
I feel like the way the season has gone to this point for him that Josh Jacobs isn't that far away from being eligible for this. So I thought it was interesting that you chose him. Who, again, just to review for our fans, who is not eligible based on the bylaws of 565 Analytics Collective?
Jordan Love, Xavier McKinney, Micah Parsons. That might be it?
What are you looking at me for?
Well, you're the one who always has the strongest opinion on this.
You do tend to dictate maybe
Tucker Kraft isn't eligible.
Tucker Kraft, yeah, we can't say Tucker Kraft. And I think coming into the year, Josh Jacobs may have been on the list, but...
Josh Jacobs, if you want to take him, he's got to have a... cheered off.
And I've always been of the belief you can pick almost anybody to be a sleeper, but it's what they do compared to what's expected of them.
So very fair.
You could pick Josh Jacobs if he has an Aaron Jones-like day with four touchdowns in
Dallas. And waves on his way to the end zone, which would be still one of my
favorites. I think that would count then if you feel like it's going to be that kind of thing.
No, I was asking simply because you chose Emmanuel Wilson, which feels... It does feel like a bit of a reach.
It's a little reachy, but that's how I think the game's going to go.
So yeah. I'm going to do – so you were not pleased with your selection last week?
No, you're going to go and poach and win is what you're
hoping. I think that given that Tucker Kraft is healthy enough to be playing but does not – he's not 100%, and he is a tough guy.
Who is, though?
Well, I understand, but he was really, really good in that Washington game, and he was largely a non-factor in the Cleveland game. He had one really meaningful catch, and then he was also a factor in the blocked field goal. Would we have taken that off of – does that count against you if you're a sleeper and you have
His guy didn't block it.
He did, actually.
He finger-tipped it.
He did, yes. Uh-huh. That's the first blocked kick I've ever seen that two different people playing two different spots both got a hand on the ball. I'm going to take Luke Musgrave because I still think that he is very much a sleeper. People forget he was drafted ahead of Tucker Kraft.
I said it all last week.
I don't, but I'm
reiterating. He didn't do any. And Tucker was limited. So maybe you're going to be right, and I'm going to be irritated, and you're going to be up 3-1, and we'll see if I can't pull a Cleveland Cavaliers off on you. That should be fun.
Well, we look forward to seeing who the 565 Analytics declares as a winner. You can tweet on the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed the selection that you make for your Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week. I want to remind you that this weekend only at Steinhoffel's, it's the Buy More, Save More sale. Start with 10% off store-wide, the whole place, 10% off. Except our table, because we need to keep that, because we need to do another show.
No, we'll sell it.
You, really?
Heck yeah.
Are you willing to take will you take more than 10% off on our table that we have?
If somebody wants to come and
buy
this. You
buy more stuff of ours.
Let me tell you something. Somebody comes and wants to buy this table, we'll move. We want to move merch, man. Let's go.
We'll move outside if we have to. But the buy more, save more sale.
Did you ask Rachel about that? She's the one that'll have to be moving this stuff. I don't know how excited
you
she
just
is.
Offered to sell
the
it.
The table,
and you're
yeah. There's
about
a
that.
We could move it here. There's a smaller table. This one we could sell, and then move it there. And if they want to sell that one, then we pull something else up.
Okay, I don't think this table's part of the sale, but all I can tell you is that it starts with 10% off store wide. Then you take an extra $150 off.
I love these chairs. Very sturdy. Always love a sturdy, nice, comfortable chair.
It's a good table.
Danny, how do you think this is going? Is this the kind of advertising you're seeking? Should we talk about the anniversary celebration instead?
Hey, can you finish the read? Like, let's go.
Tomovsky,
what is this, amateur hour?
The anniversary celebration is going on at Steinhoffel's, yeah. And we're in a celebrating mood.
Heck yeah.
Steinhoffel's is celebrating 91 years.
Wow.
91
that's
years.
That's a run now.
Just roughly as long as it's taking to get through this read.
Who's the greatest 91 in Green Bay?
Brian Noble.
Oh, Preston Smith was
Preston
good.
Preston Smith, yeah.
Who was the Joe Johnson, your former
Joe Johnson
teammate.
Was 91?
Yeah.
That didn't work.
Jonathan Brown, another 91.
Okay.
91 years as Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader, 100% employee-owned, fourth-generation family-run, and proud to serve the Madison and many other communities as well. They've also got the Best Brands Big Savings Sale, which has 10% off store-wide, including this table.
It's a good table.
Plus an extra 10% off our best brands, including special orders. Huge savings on furniture people love the most, including our table. Rob Domofsky, whether he wants to or not, joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch. Music means it means it's time to talk to Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. Rob, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Can you guys hear me? Because I do not see you on my screen.
I don't see you either. There you are.
Oh, look at that guy. Yeah, Rob, if you hit the on button, it usually works better when you do that.
So,
I'm not technologically savvy either.
So, speaking of seeing you, I was still in the locker room. You did the Kenny Clark Zoom call, and what you came in, what happened?
Well, no. So, you know, I'm a mid-level,
highly successful TV.
Cable. Yeah, I'm a C-level cable television sports reporter, and I had a live hit on NFL Live, and I knew I would miss the Kenny Clark Zoom call. You know, we have our little offices here, and there are other people who have invaded my office. So they were using it to watch the Zoom, Kenny Clark Zoom, or participate in it. I walked in and from my TV hit, and it was in the middle of it. And he saw me in the background walking in, and he said, "Hey, Rob." And I said, "Hi, Kenny." And I went about my day.
That's a cute story.
It is a good story.
Nice.
And I think it's, I mean, as much as we'd like it to say a lot about how big of a celebrity Rob is, what it really is the kind of guy Kenny Clark is. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
just
him in a nutshell.
Why can't both be true?
Yeah. Yeah, Jason.
No, I think it's mostly
Kenny
Clark. So, Rob, how are you viewing this week? You, one of your closest friends is Todd Archer, who covers – he's the Rob Domofsky of the Dallas Cowboys beat. When you look at these two teams and you look at this matchup, and you two are texting back and forth as you do thousands of times a day, how do you two – where are you guys landing on this game?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all have a tendency to maybe think the team we cover has more flaws than it does. But, I mean, I think he thinks that the Cowboys defense is, you know, not very good right now, has a long way to go. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the Packers offensively have a huge advantage in this game. But, I mean, I don't know if maybe he didn't watch the run game that they've tried to put together the last 3 weeks or the Cleveland game. And in fact, I'm sure he didn't, because the Cowboys were probably playing. That's the thing, Jason, I think people don't realize about our jobs is that we really don't, other than our game and maybe the night game on an off day that the Packers aren't playing, we don't get to see that many games live. I mean, mm-hmm. you can go back and watch them. You know, the NFL has the great NFL Plus game replay thing that you can watch games on. And yes, I say that because they give us a free subscription, so I'm promoting it. But the you don't really get to see, you know, especially if your team's playing at noon, right? Because all right, a lot of the games are at noon. Then during the 3 o'clock window, you're writing your story, and then you know by the time you're done, you know the Sunday night game has probably already started. So it's hard to really get a grasp if you're a beat writer on you know the other teams without sitting there and making a point to go watch them.
Rob, when you were in Cleveland, obviously, and you saw that firsthand, what do you think comes out of that game? Because you know it was interesting to hear Tucker Kraft yesterday talk about how, as an offense, we have to be better because we have the best defense in the league, he said. I heard Xavier McKinney talk about how, you know, they were acting like they had won the Super Bowl by starting 2-0. What do you think comes out of a performance like that, and how do you expect them to respond to that type of thought process and play?
It's a great question. I also wonder, Jason, if having the bye week right after has any impact one way or the other, positively or negatively, right? Like, you almost, maybe Tosh, you could correct me if I'm wrong on this, but as a player, when you have a game like that, don't you just want to play right away and get that taste out of your mouth? You know, it's like playing golf. When I play well, I don't want to play again because I want to just end it on that. Like, I played well. Like, I don't want to go out and then when you play badly, you just want to go play right away. So the fact that they only have one game and then the bye, you know, I guess gives them an opportunity to come back and play well, but then it's hard to build momentum off that, if that makes any sense. You know, Jason, like, you and I have seen good seasons that have had bad losses, right? I mean, like, my very first year here, 97, they lost that game to the 0-10 Colts, right? And that obviously that 97 team was really good. The 2011 team, what were you guys, like 12 or 13-0 and went to Kansas City and got beat?
By Kyle Orton.
Wasn't that the only loss? Yeah, wasn't that the only loss of the 15-1 season? Mm-hmm. You know, there's been plenty of games, you know, even later in the Rodgers era where they've you know lost some games where, man, they should not lose that game and they still ended up being a pretty good team. The 2016 run to the NFC Championship game, there were some really bad, strange losses in there, and that team ended up being pretty good. So the difference here is that most of those games were really late in the season when you already for sure knew that they were a good team for the most part. Maybe not 2016 because that was the run the table year. But so I guess at this point, I don't know. I don't think we can put it into perspective because we don't know the bigger picture of this season yet. But at this point, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, I think they just had a bad day against a team that had one really strong suit, or maybe two real. I mean, special teams, you know, that they have guys that have blocked a lot of kicks before. So maybe that was just a perfect storm, and it's not going to be a sign that this team has some crazy flaws that are going to hold it back.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland's defense is really good. But the question I have, and what I do think will get answered this week, is where this Packers offense is, because I think the defense has been everything we thought 4 weeks ago. Yesterday, Micah Parsons is traded, and boom, this defense is, I think, has been as good, if not better, than we thought. I don't know what this offense is. What do you think? Not only what are you expecting and hoping to see if you're a Packers fan Sunday, but where are we right now as an offense?
Well, you know, I can tell you where they are as rankings. They're 21st overall in offense, 20th in run game, and 17th in the pass game. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like they're good in one and bad in the other. Yeah. The numbers aren't good in any of it. You know, Dallas's defense is if I think your point, Tosh, is correct. If they don't put up a lot of points and big yards and big production against Dallas, then maybe we've got a problem.
Yep.
Here. So I do think in that way, you know, it's not necessarily like a measuring stick in terms of how good you are, but it might be a measuring stick in terms of how concerned you should be on the offensive side. I think that's the, you know, you always hear when you're going up against a really good team, oh, this is a measuring stick. Well, this isn't a measuring stick for how good you are. This is a measuring stick for whether the problems are real or they were just the Cleveland really good defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt. When you see what the Bears and the Lions, you just start looking around at who Dallas has played, the Giants, not the Lions,
right,
put up those big numbers. And for this defense to be, they are middle of the pack, if not worse, as you just pointed that out. And I think it stems from all of the juggling and the inconsistency that the O-line's playing with. I'm not looking at this as Jordan Love or Josh Jacobs or even the receiving core. The O-line has not played well. And especially last week, I know Pete Doherty wrote a nice piece about Jordan Morgan. I don't know if you have or not on the bouncing around yet. But that what is it, and when do you think this thing can start looking better up front? Because right now it has not been as good as we hoped.
Yeah, you know, the Jordan Morgan, I haven't read Pete's story yet, but I heard his line of questioning yesterday, so I had a, you know, an idea of where he was going with it. But the thing with Jordan Morgan, and maybe this is a crazy comparison, but Jordan Morgan is almost like the high-drafted quarterback who is thrown into a bad situation and is never the same because of it. You know, how many guys have we seen
David
pick
Carr,
high
and they
end up
– that we always think of? Mm-hmm. Houston?
Yeah, right.
Yep.
But with Jordan, it's maybe a loose comparison, but Jordan Morgan is a guy who came in thinking he was going to be a left tackle, always wanted to be a left tackle, and has played basically everywhere but left tackle. Like, and I'm not saying they've ruined Jordan Morgan, but that's the same sort of idea, like a quarterback that has to play right away and struggles and isn't ready. Well, Jordan Morgan's an offensive lineman who kind of had to play a bunch of spots that he really wasn't comfortable with, and I don't want to say, like, that it can't be salvaged, but and Jason heard this as well. You know, Matt LaFleur on, was it Monday, Jace, said, you know, yeah, maybe we have sort of hurt Jordan Morgan's progress by moving him around. And then yesterday, offensive coordinator Adam Senevich said, no, he's fine. He can move around. So, you know, and again, I get the reality of the NFL is if you're not a starter on the offensive line, you better be able to play multiple positions. But in this case, I really, really wonder how Jordan Morgan comes out of this because, like, I don't think the plan was ever to re-sign Rashid Walker. So eventually, you know, and by eventually I mean March of next year, Rashid Walker is probably going to be on another team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is Jordan Morgan the starting left tackle from then on? I mean, that was the idea, but let's see what happens. But on the bigger picture about the offensive line, Josh, I think you're 100% right. I think that's where all their offensive problems stem from. And, you know, I know Elton Jenkins was really hard on himself, but he ain't wrong. Like, he has not played well at center. And, you know, you took a guy who was one of the best left guards in the league, maybe even the best. And so then you move him to center. So now you've messed with two positions, right? You've messed with left guard and center. And I'm not saying they should have re-signed Josh Myers and gone with the status quo, but essentially they sort of did screw up two spots by moving one guy.
And Aaron Banks has dealt with injuries, and I don't know how well he's played when he has been able to be out there because he has been playing hurt.
Rob's guy told him that when was that? That was this summer when you were talking about Zach Tom Hall of Fame center, right? Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That was
That was a year ago.
But, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And so the hard part is you haven't really been able to evaluate where that's at. But the Jordan Morgan thing, and that's why I thought Pete's article was interesting and hearing what LaFleur had to say, I think it's one thing if you're a swing guy at tackle, and then it's another thing you're going to be the swing guy here. And then, oh, by the way, if something happens here, oh, you have to go here. Oh, well, then something happens here, you need to go out to left tackle. I think they need to really hunker down and say, all right, you're going to be our swing tackle or you're going to be our swing guard and not put four different things on him because I don't think by any stretch is he close to being where his confidence is going to be ruined. But when you have games like that and you have reporters and the outside noise coming, it does get more difficult for you to kind of find your way.
My question to you, Tausch, would be, is it, if you're not a starter, is it easier to be a backup on the left side, whether or one side or the other? You're just a backup at left guard, left tackle, or the backup at right guard, left tackle? Or is it easier to be a backup at the two tackle spots and just go from side to side? You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I do. I think it's easier to be one position, and you can figure out the stance and everything else.
And flip sides.
Ideally, you want to have a guy that can play center and both guard. That's the spot, and then you always want that swing tackle. Jordan, and this is what I said all during camp when Shido was out, he's taken all these reps at left tackle. He's probably feeling like he should have had that job. But then you realize Shido is one of our best five. So, Jordan, unfortunately, you're going to have to sacrifice and go do all this. And for a first-round pick, that's it's different if it's a seventh-round pick, sixth-round pick, undrafted, where it's just like, all right, man, what up? Let's go. It's different for a guy that is a first-round pick that has these aspirations of being a starting left tackle.
Let me ask you this, though, and Jason, maybe you can chime in on this. And I don't remember, this is what, Rasheed Walker's fourth year, right? If I'm not mistaken, from the day Rasheed Walker got here, he pretty much only played left tackle, right? So even though he was, what, a seventh, was he a sixth, seventh round pick?
Seventh round, six, seven. Six, seven.
Yeah, so I still don't understand what that means.
Nobody does, so but why, it's amazing how many times it comes up organically. It really is.
It is. Why did they allow a seventh round pick to basically settle into one spot, and the other guy, the first round pick, has to play all these other spots? They made it easier for Jordan Morgan, and not for Rasheed Walker, though.
Well, Rob, he went out and won the job. The job opportunity came. Jordan won here, and he played good football, and that's why.
Right, I think but it's like always I'm saying, the start to his career, though, they didn't make him. He wasn't playing, and maybe I'm wrong, Jason, but I don't remember Rasheed Walker's first training camp, him playing all over the place. Do you?
No, I think he took reps at right tackle too, but not as extensively. And that was, they already knew that they had concerns about Bakhtiari, obviously. But on top of that, and it's what Brian Bulaga talked to us about when he was a rookie. Like, he got there and it was clear to everyone, this guy can't play guard, including to himself, right? And so maybe that's where Sheed falls, that, like, the part, and you made this point yesterday when we were going through this with Steno, like, when, and I even, I know I don't ask enough follow-ups for some people's liking, but that's usually because my original questions are as long as they are. But, like, he made it sound like this is something that Jordan Morgan's really good at. And my point was, when Zach Tom was moving positions, you felt like he made it look easy. When Elton Jenkins was moving positions, you felt like it was easy. And it has not looked easy for Jordan.
Well, part of it, too, Jordan hasn't got – like, Elton had success at a play at a spot and was able to – you start having success, you start feeling like you can do all this stuff. Right. Jordan, in his career, he's been injured. He hasn't felt success and really a lot of praise as all your play. You can hear Steno say all this stuff, and then you can watch the film, and you'd be like, I don't know. I'm not seeing what you're seeing.
Well, the other part, too, Tausch, is it's not just Jordan Morgan. There's been so much movement around him, too. Like, there's so many different moving parts that it's not just hard for you. It's hard for everybody around you. And then, the cohesiveness just isn't there. And I mean, in the run game, to me, it's shown up a ton.
Yeah. And as Sean Ryan said yesterday, they're three games in. He's played next to four right tackles already.
Yeah. It's a good number.
Rob, I know you got to get to LaFleur. So I wanted to ask you about this, too, though, because, not only did Steno say the opposite of what LaFleur said about stretching Morgan too thin, but also, look, Rich Bisaccia is a little bit of a tough nut to crack, right? Like, when you're asking him questions, and I've tried in a variety of ways, and yesterday I was trying to get him to acknowledge that their special teams group has not been good enough. And somebody else had mentioned LaFleur talking about catastrophic mistakes, and he took exception with that word. You got a kick blocked in a game you ended up losing. That seems catastrophic to me. How do you view where their special teams group is?
I feel like you just rewind the question from 2014, from 2018, from what was the San Francisco block punt in the playoff
right,
game.
Right, 21,
I don't understand why, and maybe the Packers' crutch is that they're special teams, they can't get it right. I mean, look, some teams can't get the quarterback position right. Like, which one would you rather have as your as your downfall, right? I mean, I guess this probably is it. So, but it doesn't make any sense to me. It's different general managers, it's different coaches, it's different coordinators.
And you got the kickers, you got the kicker and punter right. You get that right, your special teams should be good.
Yeah, maybe it's the age old. They just need to use more starters on special teams. But if you look at that field goal block unit, I mean, Jordan Morgan was out there. Rasheed Walker was out there. Sean Ryan was out there.
Tucker Kraft was out there.
Maybe. Yeah, so maybe they did have more non-starters.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think I could cover this team for the rest of my career and not come up with an answer for why their special teams haven't been what they need to be in certain spots.
Rob, how would you rate Rich Bisaccia's tenure so far as the special teams coach? Because he was brought in as a savior and as the highest paid guy, and I don't
highest paid guy.
We're gonna go with highest paid.
Well, he
is. Waiting for
him. He is.
I get it, but if he was the lowest paid special teams coordinator, would it be okay if their special teams had stuff like this? Like I don't understand why people get so worked up about a guy's
Rob,
pay.
When like, you get paid big money, your expectations are different. That's why it's like, Jordan Love, when he's making $4 million to 55, we expect different play. Like, what are we talking about? Well, of course there's expectations.
I'm trying to say this nicely. I guess, you know, since I'm probably one of the higher paid NFL Nation reporters at ESPN, I should be.
You're on TV a lot more than the Jacksonville Jaguars guy is. Are you not?
I walked right into that one.
I mean, really? Like, if you weren't covering the Packers, if you were covering, Jacksonville, I bet you're probably not getting paid as much, right?
Yeah, I'd like to think it was me. You know,
we all do.
This is just my long way of avoiding the question because it's the same answer as before. I don't know. Like, I try to take the pay out of it. I really do. Like, I just Jason knows this. That just bothers me when you have different expectations. Because it was like Brett used to say, like Favre used to say, wait, hold on. Favre used to always say, oh, I'm supposed to try harder this week because it's a bigger game. Well, then why wasn't I trying harder and preparing harder the week before? Like, yeah. Maybe it's comparing apples to oranges, but I think you should be good at your job and should do the best you can. And I get it. The expectations may be different, but from the actual person doing the job, I guess.
Hey, Rob, quick question. Do you cover first round picks differently than a seventh round pick as far as what the expectation is?
So, I go back to like AJ Hawk. Like, I thought AJ Hawk had a really, really good career.
Yep.
It's not his fault he was the fifth pick of the draft and everybody expected him to be, everybody expected him to be this superstar. Like, did he make splash plays? You know, maybe not, but just if he was the 31st or 40th pick of the draft, you'd think AJ Hawk was had a great career.
Yes.
And I guess I have a problem with or don't understand. Maybe it's just not the way my non-numbers brain works about why money or draft status should make you, you know, have to have a different standard. Like, the standard is the standard, right? Isn't that what they always say?
I would love to just sit down and have like a 30-minute digi only with Rob on this because it's amazing to me that people – like, you guys have done this for 30 years. You know the game. Like, you guys know the game. You know how this works.
I know. I'm trying just as hard at ESPN than I did at the Press Gazette when I made, you know, a third of the money or whatever it is. I tried just as hard then and was expecting.
Yeah, but you have to dress nicer. You have to go on TV. Like, there's expectations that go. Rob, before you go, Mike McCarthy, who's he rooting for this weekend?
He's probably rooting for a personality, like kind of like we do. We root for people, not teams. So whoever his favorite people are on those teams, that's probably who he welcomes out.
Whoever's the least paid. Whoever's making the least amount of
Badger
money.
Volleyball.
Viral Jesse.
His expectations are lower.
Rob needs to get to Matt LaFleur, who is so nice to do all his press conferences during our show during the week now. He is among the highest paid among the ESPN NFL
Nation. But don't judge him on that, though.
Don't judge me on that. Just judge him
on that. Oh, Rob. That was fun.
He is Rob Domofsky. Thanks, Rob.
All right, we'll be seeing you.
American Family Insurance. Boy, they've got a lot of
doesn't matter what you're
going
making,
on.
You need to be insured properly, and life is better with American Family Insurance. That's because their agents will make you feel totally protected with a home, auto, or life policy that's just right for you. Also, you're free to go enjoy your dreams. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
We roll on live from Steinhoffel's off the Beltline.
It was exhausting.
You've been exasperated with all three people that have been part of the program.
I haven't been exasperated with you.
No, you don't. Okay,
what have I been exasperated with you?
And Riley. He got into it with Riley for a minute off air, too. So that's
Jesse,
really.
You're not helping.
I don't think I got into it. I said, Riley, let's go. It's not getting into it. It's like, let's get the show going. That's not getting into it.
Pablo.
I haven't said a word to Pablo. Pablo's fine.
Pablo's scared.
I think Rachel's been awesome. Danny's been great. You know, our team has been great outside of Jesse and Rob. I don't know what. That's where I'm at. What do you want me to say? I haven't said anything about anybody else. Dale brought me coffee. He's awesome. Zeke is here. He's awesome. Jerry in the Prairie is here. He's awesome. So don't try to pigeonhole me as being like some blah, blah, blah. I've been very fair with my assessments of people today.
I couldn't agree more.
Period.
I disagree. Semicolon. You're annoying.
We're never getting invited back to Steinhoffel's again. It's Wilde and Tausch. Thanks again to Rob Domofsky. We need to get to the weekend.
Notice you didn't jump in there. I'm assuming you're on Rob's side on that?
No, I made a joke about him being so highly paid at the end of the thing. You guys were going at it. I didn't feel like I wanted to interrupt. It was a really good banter.
Is that the most you think you've ever gotten into it with Rob?
No, I got into it with Rob when I played a little bit.
Oh?
Ooh.
Yeah. Not anything like that. So I think from a longevity, yes, that was six or seven minutes long. So, yeah.
Thanks. Riley,
great job, exclamation point.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Exclamation point.
we did not get to point this out, but Rob now has company in the Boldathon losers circle because Tom Waddle, who I thought
pretty good pick,
was in a really good spot. Do you guys play the somebody asked me about this morning, the Survivor pools? Do you play those?
I used to. I've never fared well enough where I've lost interest in doing them after
so
a while.
So how many people
pick Green Bay
in that instance?
Yeah, it was a popular pick.
Typically what happens in those Survivor pools are people look at the largest point spread and then pick that team.
And you can only use each one
you can only use
once,
it once,
right?
Right?
Yep. So,
yeah.
Speaking of Survivor, I have jumped off that train. I used to really enjoy watching that show with my kids, and the last two seasons we stopped, and I'm done with it now.
Hmm. What changed?
I don't know. Hmm. You guys brought up Survivor. I did. So
you love Survivor.
I used to.
Mr. Survivor.
I'm out on it. Done.
All below deck all the time now?
No, not even below deck. Nope.
You know, Peacock has a really good streaming.
I watched that Charlie Sheen doc.
Yeah?
Whoa.
Do I want to watch it or do I not?
I think we as a society need to stop glamorizing people like Chuck. Hmm. That's my take.
I like that statement.
Have you watched the new Superman yet?
No.
Got that flight to Oregon coming up soon.
Hopefully by Oregon. I doubt it'll be in there by Ann Arbor next weekend. So, no.
Anyway, Tom Waddle predicted the Packers would win 8 in a row to start the season, the start of the year.
Who's running that website? The Boldathon?
That's Eric in Green Bay.
Oh, Eric in Green Bay. Okay. Yeah.
I saw he's tweeted a few more times.
Yeah?
Yeah. See, Jamie in Orlando is wanting to re-fire up. I just don't think the Bucks are going to even be in the mix to win a championship.
Badger volleyball.
So you want to do Badger volleyball, Packers, Brewers?
Yeah.
I'm on board with that if Jamie is.
Badger volleyball, 7th ranked
in
the country.
Is it a slight to say that the Bucks have their odds and where they're
well,
at?
Well, I actually think because the Eastern Conference, all those other stars are injured going into this season, the Bucks do have a decent chance if they can stay healthy.
Okay.
So I don't think it's out of the question.
All right, let's fire up the band then. Let's go.
This has been your NBA Minutes on Wilde and Tausch live from Steinhoffel.
If you had to right now, would you bet the Brewers to win the World Series?
I would not.
I have.
Love it.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you bet?
A comfortable amount. For
how many zeros are after the first digit?
None.
Okay, that's what I had a feeling.
So it's like nine.
$9.
There,
I'm sorry. There's 1 0 after the.
So somewhere,
digit.
Jesse has wagered somewhere between $10 and $90
I wagered a fast food dinner, not a steak dinner.
Okay. And, well, your dollar goes a long way at Quick Trip.
Oh, indeed it does. Packer fans, your next Quick Trip run could score you the ultimate win. Cruise into tailgate season in a brand new Chevy Silverado RST. Blaze the trails on a Polaris Sportsman 570 or grill it up like an MVP with your very own Pit Boss Ultimate Liftoff Griddle. For every dollar you spend at Quick Trip with Quick Rewards, you earn points to use in the Packers Fan Zone. No purchase is necessary. Head over to quicktrip.com/sweepstakes and don't miss Quick Hot Savings this week. Nature's Touch Milk, 2%, 1% skim, or a beautiful whole milk, $2.99 a gallon. Nature's Touch Butter, $2.99 a pound. Quick Buns, 8-count, 2 for $2.22. And then if you want to get some of that new propane, it's still beautiful out.
Mm-hmm.
Propane Exchange, $22.99. Tailgate savings and sweepstakes only at Quick Trip, period. See you next time, exclamation point.
The weekend preview, no punctuation whatsoever, is coming up next. Matt LaFleur is at the podium with Rob Domofsky and all those zeros on his paycheck. Asking him questions. We will get to the weekend preview next. It's Wildy and Tausch. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see me turning. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see me turning. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change. Live from Steinhoffel's off the Beltline in Madison. All the stars are out now. Jim Rutledge. Jim, Matt, and Molly is here. He'll be signing autographs from
fun
12
show.
Until 1.
Interim host of the Barry Alvarez show coming up
Jim
on Monday
Jim is back
night.
With...
Yeah.
Oh, God. Who's more annoyed, Jim with Tark and Derek or Tark and Derek with Jim? Because that is
Jim's
real...
pointing to himself.
So will it be renamed the Jim Rutledge Show since you've basically made it the Jesse Nelson Show? Or
well, it depends. If he gets 1.3 million views, then we could maybe think about calling it the Jim
Jesse,
Rutledge Show.
Old Jesse viral.
Yeah.
Before we get to the weekend preview, since we're already running way late, Matt LaFleur at the podium. Anthony Belton suffered his ankle injury during practice on Wednesday.
Yeah.
He is out.
That's not good.
For Sunday, so that means Darian Kennard, presumably, if they're not going to have either Aaron Banks or Zach Tom already missing from their starting lineup. Time now for the weekend preview.
Usually I give you 5 games on the weekend
docket.
No,
we don't have time for that.
That's why he's got like 8.
I was going to give you like 9 games because they're all so good.
It is actually a great weekend of football.
It's a fantastic weekend of football. Let me just run through them. Tell me which one stands out most to you because there's a lot to choose from.
Okay. Oregon, Penn State.
It's a good one. All right. 11 a.m. Saturday. 21 USC, 23 Illinois.
Love that game.
Illinois. Top 25
Illinois
matchup.
Illinois big.
USC's already complaining about the early kickoff.
Yeah, crybabies.
Number 1, Ohio State at Washington, 2:30 on CBS.
Sneaky. Could be sneaky.
Washington's good.
Could be sneaky.
Number 4, LSU. Number 13, Ole Miss. There's some drama. You know the drama around
there? I do. I want to watch that Lane Kiffin doc that was on.
His daughter, 30 for 30.
His daughter is dating a starting linebacker for LSU, and they made their little whatever Instagram official deal out there. And Lane.
The week of the game.
Yeah. Very nice. Very fun.
Lane Kiffin's the head coach at Ole Miss.
I know that. Thank you. I was.
You look confused.
Did look confused.
No, I'm confused by that's the controversy or that's the okay.
People like
the documentary.
The documentary is supposed to be really
separate.
Good.
The many lives of Lane Kiffin.
Thank you.
Where it documents him going to
I'll
USC, the Raiders.
After I get done with the Charlie Sheen documentary.
No, you won't. Sixth ranked Oregon, number 3 Penn State, whiteout, 6:30, primetime on NBC.
That'll be a good
rematch
one.
Of the Big Ten championship game last year.
Yeah.
Number 17 Alabama at number 5 Georgia, Saturday night on ABC and the ESPN app. That'll be a good one too.
Yeah.
Then the pro slate Sunday morning, kicking off the European tour, Vikings-Steelers, 8:30 a.m. on the NFL Network.
I know Jason will be watching that.
Browns-Lions at noon Sunday on Fox. Commanders-Falcons, noon Sunday on CBS.
Tough matchup for the Lions. The Browns are really good.
And this is a tough draw for fans here.
I guarantee you, this Lions ain't throwing a 50-burger up on that Browns defense.
No, they aren't. Tough draw for fans in the Wisconsin markets. In Madison, Milwaukee TV markets, we get Bears-Raiders Sunday at 3:25.
No, I want Chiefs-Ravens.
We don't get Chiefs-Ravens. We get the Bears game.
No.
Bears-Raiders is our 3:25 game.
Can we
what do we get in Green Bay, Fox City?
In Green Bay, they're getting Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
Why can we not opt out?
Why would that be?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I just look at the map and I tell you what games everybody gets locally. Here in Madison and Milwaukee TV markets, we get Bears-Raiders. Mm-hmm. In Green Bay, they get Chiefs-Ravens.
All right, I won't watch either.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Way to put your foot down.
Which game do you like the most of that whole slate?
Ooh.
Great weekend of football.
It is. I mean, I think Oregon-Penn State is probably the most intriguing. Mm-hmm. You got two big heavyweights in the Big Ten. Penn State has had problems beating and winning the big boy games. This is obviously a huge challenge for both of them. And I don't know how you can't be intrigued by Alabama-Georgia. So those, unfortunately, are both at the same time. That would be the two, and I'm going to pick Oregon-Penn State as the – I'm not going to be able to watch it because I'm not available, but that's what I would watch if I was available.
Oregon-Penn State will definitely be on for me on Saturday evening. I am curious about Illinois because I turned that game on last Saturday when they were – and I did not expect Indiana to be blowing them out to the degree that they did. Mm-hmm. Tough break for Brett Bielema. All right, that is the weekend preview. We need to get to the 11 o'clock hour, which will include our prize picks of the week.
Ooh,
headlines, Whoa Nelly, and Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints, but we can't get to any of that until Tausch tells us about Coors Light.
Indeed, and whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating that big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open that Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged because it's actually made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to jump in there.
Nope, you're really on it today. You're sharp.
Thanks. The 11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch will be on that in 2 minutes, so stick around.